It's FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. We've got something special for you this week, a bonus episode featuring an intimate conversation between WFUV's Benham Jones and Justin Vernon, who makes music as Bon Iver. They sit down and talk about Bon Iver's latest album, Sable Fable. If you missed our full-length episode this week that dropped on Monday, please go back in the feed and take a listen to the episode this week featuring English singer-songwriter Paris Paloma. And as always, if you like what we do and you enjoy the show, please rate and review it so that other music lovers can find it. Without further ado, here's Benham Jones' conversation with Bon Iver.
I've listened to the record. I actually want to say thank you because I got dumped on Monday.
Oh, shit.
I know. It was a soft dumping, so it was okay. But I was about to like put on all the saddest clinic songs, and then I remembered that I had this. I had the promotional release of your new record. So I put that on, and that was my ride home, and it was actually quite powerful. So thank you personally for that.
Oh, that's what it's for, man. You're welcome, right? That's what we do it for, right?
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
Cool thing about it, though, is because I was on like the promo jukebox thing that they give, so I can't be the pirate leak. As soon as it ends, it cycles back over. It starts up again, which was an interesting way to listen, especially with the opening strings on that tune. It felt like truly cyclical in the album format. So yeah, now that you're finished, now that you're done, just kind of want to get a sense of how you're feeling with a little distance from the record. And if you could just talk a little bit about your headspace right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling awesome. I haven't felt this present really before putting out a record, and feel really in sync. The music feels really truthful to me. It feels like an actual, you know, a fable. You know, it's like there's stories in there. They're really real. And like, I think that, you know, they helped me get through stuff. I needed these songs to get through things. I know that they'll help people like you or whoever out there. If it happens once, it's enough. And it happened for me and it happened for you. So we could be done here. You know, I'm just really happy with how the songs are and what they illustrate, and to be in a better place as a person because I've made these songs.
I know that, you know, sonically the band has changed so much over time. And it was actually fun for me because I kind of had a dead spot with you guys in like the mid-2010s when I wasn't really listening. And I went back and I listened to those records a couple of years ago, and I was fully blown away with the new turf of ambient music and electronic, all those introductions. So I know that the albums sonically come from different places, be them influences or what you're listening to. But I'm wondering if, as a songwriter, spiritually, does each album feel like it comes from a different place, or is it always from the same wellspring?
It comes from in here, but it does come from a different wellspring too. I don't know what the metaphor is exactly. I mean, 22 and Millions, very, you know, very angsty, and it's really electric, trying to shatter, you know, bad feelings, really scary. And it's really, there's some anger in it and some desolation and destructiveness. And I think that was me reacting to some of the discomfort that had come from not really loving how I was feeling before that, kind of after the second record. The second record felt like I was playing with house money, and I just sort of made a crazy thing, and it was really truthful and worked really well. And I think the last II was very much like, all right, let's try to take this band to the arenas and see if we can make music that might sound good in that big of a space. And you know, we did that to mostly successful elements. And then this one's just for me, you know. I think I think I've gotten older, mature, and everything's kind of simplified. And I'm not trying to hide or be coy or be too complex. I think this record is very much just like, here's what it is. We're not going to dress it up too much.
When the EP came out, when I first heard Spaceside, I listened to the records from the mid-2010s and II, and that's very interesting to me sonically, but I didn't really go back and listen to them that much. Spaceside caught me, and it really felt like a rearrival and a moment just in how direct it sounded. And it's funny because I thought I was going to get like a folkier record on the strength of that. And then here's an album with no natural drums, all the 909 sounds and all that sort of stuff. So I'm just wondering about that dichotomy. It sounds so much more direct and personal, but then you're playing with all these synthesized sounds. Just wondering where maybe that's coming from in terms of influences or your own exploration.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the records, you know, every record's had like a a comma in the middle, and I think that dichotomy is kind of the one true way to look at our world and to understand that there's a balance of things. Nothing is absolute, right? And 22 was me, and million was the girl, and so forth. And I was I, and I are we, and that and on Sable and Fable, it's very much, Sable is the darkness and Fable is the light. And I contain those multitudes just like everyone does. And so, but I wanted to give the darkness its place, but I wanted the light to take up the most amount of space.
Well, it's cool because the album starts on kind of a dark tone of sadness, but then when I listened, like I said, it came back around again. The strings at the opening of that Things Behind Things, it felt like sunrise. It felt like warm sun on my face after the sort of coda of the like music boxy thing at the end. So it's fascinating how you achieved the light and dark switch when I heard that coming through. 'Cause I, like I said, I just got dumped. I put it on, I hear those strings. I'm like, oh yes, we're going into the sad space. But then when it came back around and started up again, it felt like a breath of fresh air. So it sort of had that rebirth feeling to it.
It is the rebirth. I mean, that's kind of the Bon Iver like concept, man. It's like winter is a good thing, death is a good thing, renewal only comes from extinction, or exhaustion of a cycle. The Sable and Fable are they're related, but they and they're on the same circle journey, but they're very separate.
Are you going to tour on the record?
Not yet. I
Okay.
don't have any plans. I was like, you know what? Let me try to enjoy this putting out this record that I worked for 5 or 6 years. I'm going to do that first instead of getting ahead of myself and getting overwhelmed and overexposed and overworked and unhappy. I'm going to stay in this happy place, and then I'll figure out what's next when it's time.
Yeah, that sounds very good. Like to
Yeah.
stay in the space of spiritual creaminess for a little while.
Yeah, man.
Worth something. Are you listening to any music lately that you love? This is my boilerplate question. I'm always wondering, you watching
Yeah.
any movies, listening to any music that's cool these days?
I mean, I watch trash movies. I love anything that Gerard Butler does for G-Base Productions. I am watching
Okay.
it, and I will watch many, many times. I know that Plane 2 is coming out next year. I know Greenland 2 is coming out next year. That's kind of where I'm at in the movie space.
Wow.
But I've just been listening. I love all sorts of music. I love the McGee record.
That is truly feels like something. That's a
That's
moment
right.
now.
That's a moment. Yeah, that's a moment. And there's tons of great stuff out there. I love the Waxahachie stuff. And but I've been really on just like Wisconsin Public Radio, listening to Bach and Beethoven. I've never really been in that space before, and it's been really relaxing and nice. And I catch the news and stuff like that. It's kind of when I'm in my 40s now, so that's what's in my bag.
Well, listeners like you make public radio possible, Justin.
That's right,
So
Doug.
thank you for
That's
the
right.
support.
I am a supporter.
You mentioned the McGee record. Honestly, for me, I think that kid is on something else right now. And the way that he does the guitar through the four track, very fascinating. You've got Dijon on this record. I just want to know a little bit about that collaboration also, because I did not have like a Dijon Flock of Dimes mashup on my bingo card. So thank you for that gift. It works quite well too.
It does. It does. Yeah. I mean, I just went to Woz, Jen Wozner, Flock of Dimes, and I just said, write something for Bonnie Raitt. I wanna figure it out. And she wrote something, and she just sounded too good, so we had to keep it. And I was like, well, that makes sense. And then, Dijon and I become really good friends, and I think he's my favorite artist in the world. Him, McGee, Francis and the Lights. And we've been through a lot of. I think Dijon's going through some things that I've been through, and trying to understand how to see what's next and be truthful to himself while living in his life. And I think it just made sense, that song Day One, to get Woz's perspective as a woman, as kind of this maternal presence, the way that she's sort of speaking to us and that we're speaking to all of us. It's a conversation, and I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, it's rad. It's funny that you bring up Bonnie Raitt, because when a friend I was talking to a friend just a couple minutes ago, and they were like, "What does the new record sound like?" And I was like, "It's sort of like a Frank Ocean, Nick of Time, Bonnie Raitt, and the Wainwrights are chilling."
Hey, that's a good one. I'll take that. I'll take
it,
that.
and then I guess to bring it to Frank Ocean, that was of course like you got to imagine me in my car driving away from an 8 month relationship, and then award season comes on, and I forgot that I was listening to Bon Iver. I thought I was listening to Blonde or something.
Wow,
So,
wow, wow.
and that is just the strength of you leaving the voice so naked in that space.
Yeah,
But I
yeah.
guess if you could talk a little bit about that song, because I love a lot of songs on this record. That's one of the only ones that whose name I didn't have to like read a couple times to remember, because I was like, oh, this
Yeah.
is very powerful stuff.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the story of the record jam in the middle there. And that's why I wanted to put it out first, because award season's a lot to get through. It's a long song with many things happening, and it's a lot of ways it's the thesis or the mesh point between Sable and Fable, and it's the thing that happens when a breakup happens, or that something doesn't work out, where you have to understand that it's probably made you a better person, even if it's hurting. But it does hurt. That's what that song's about.
Who plays the sax on that?
The one and only Michael Lewis, the greatest musician on the planet to me. He's my friend, and he's my favorite living instrumentalist. And I've been lucky enough to have him playing sax solos on all the Bon Iver records.
It honestly rocked me. It ripped me to shreds.
Yep, that part is really good.
I'm looking forward to hearing some of these things mixed into, slow burn Saturday night down tempo DJ sets too. I'm curious to see who cracks into Bon Iver at the dubstep rave. Curious to
Yeah,
see
let's go. Let's
where we can
go.
get there. Cool. Anything else on your mind these days?
Don't think so, man. I'm glad that the record was there when you needed it.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's really been a privilege. And then hopefully when you guys come to New York, maybe come by the studio or something. I'd love to check out the show one of these times.
Would love to, man. Would love to. Appreciate you a lot, Ben.
Thank you, guys.